toll-free. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line here on the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. It's 855-453. That's 3733 for those of you who don't have the letters on your telephone. It's Mark with you.
And Mandrick.
And Stephanie.
That's right. We've got Mandrick sitting in this evening, and Mandrick was available, and I thought I'd have you sit in. So thanks for sitting in.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
No problem. So normally on Free Talk Live, we do, we bring up our own show prep. Obviously, you can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about, but until you do such a thing, we need to talk about things. And normally we, pick out some story or something like that and talk about that. But, Stephanie, you and I have both been experiencing something this week that has to do with sort of, gender inequality and sexism and feminism and things like this. And I wanted to talk about your experience and my experience maybe a little bit and see if we could create something here. Because feminism is this football that gets moved up and down talk radio and the political blogosphere and all that stuff. And it doesn't get really talked about much as to what it even is. And so I think it's worth talking about.
I think it gets talked about a lot, but in a negative light. I mean, at least what I've heard of it, people seem to not like the word. Mm-hmm. They seem to believe that people who identify as feminists either hate men or think that women are better than men simply because they're women. And of course, that would be absurd. That's the same concept as sexism, really. You know, to think that one or the other gender is somehow better inherently. I mean, nobody can control what body they are born in, you know, whether they have two X chromosomes or an X and a Y or something else. You know, and nobody can control their color either, you know, or their orientation. And so these things that are so arbitrary that people have no control over really shouldn't be used to judge people, and they shouldn't be used as standards by which to treat people. So I consider myself a feminist, but I would call myself more of an individualist feminist, meaning that all people are human beings and they have natural rights, you know, to be free from aggression and to be respected and so forth. And so I don't know. I don't think that any gender is better than the other. I just don't like double standards, and I want people to be treated equally.
When you describe this individualist feminism of yours, it's not mine.
It's a very old philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, certainly people have talked about it. And to me, what it sounds like is what most people think. Most people think that women and men should be treated equally in the eyes of the law.
I would say that most people think they think that. Most people don't know that they may hold prejudices that are against certain races or maybe against women or gays or lesbians or whatever. If you ask most people, are you sexist or are you racist, they'll say, oh, no, of course I'm not. But yet sometimes their behavior and attitudes may reflect differently.
Well, I mean, I suppose it's, lots of everybody doesn't know what's all in their mind. You know, they need to pop rivets in this sort of box that is our old thinking in order to get, down to the core of things and understand it. But, what I have, I guess the problem I have with the term individualist feminism mm-hmm. is A, it deviates from what people think feminism is. And so it gets confusing. And B, it doesn't sound much different than what most people think. So, what's the point in having a word for it?
Yeah, I mean, I can take your point, although I haven't found a better word to express the philosophy that I hold and that a lot of other people hold, right? I mean, if you say that you're a feminist, sometimes people will assume that you're a gender feminist.
Right, we need to define that term immediately.
Yeah, okay. Mark, what do you think most people think of when they hear feminist?
Usually they think of a woman with short hair who's ugly and dislikes men a lot. Right? You don't think that that's what people think?
I don't know.
I think that that's exactly what they
probably
think.
A lot of people do think that.
I mean, maybe the same people.
When you look at what has happened to laws around domestic violence, sexual harassment, accusations of rape in this country, you will see that men have very little power in those arenas. And those arenas have been used as the football, as it were, by the gender feminists. And we need to specify here because there's gender feminists are the ones that believe that what do they call it? Gyno superiority, I think is the term that that has been used. But essentially, that women are better than men psychologically, emotionally, and intellectually. They, you know, these,
or they at least believe that the government should grant women special rights simply because they are women and they have historically been oppressed. Right.
Right. That they should have special rights. And at this point, the way that that manifests itself in today's modern culture is that if a woman, if for instance my wife, let's use my wife and then you as an example in here, Mandrick, if my wife says that I hit her, I'm going to go to jail, and I can have the fun chore of trying to prove that I didn't, even if she doesn't have a mark on her. Now, if you say that I hit you, the cop's going to be like, dude, you don't have, you know, where's your bloody lip? Where's your black eye? They're going to be like, what's the evidence that he hit you? And I'm going to be like, I didn't hit anybody. Look at my knuckles. I haven't hit anybody. And chances are good they're going to tell you to take a long walk off a short pier, that you're a big baby, and just, you know, just suck it up. They're not going to say that. You know, if my wife claims up and down that she got hit and she's crying and, you know, the story is good, I'm going to jail. And that is the reality that men live in this country. And
more than just that,
sad.
You're going to be seen as, you know, the wife beater.
That's right.
And if it was just me and you getting in a fight, it would just be like, well, whatever, those guys, you know.
Right.
Well, and those kind of systemic biases, I think, are the things that kind of tend to pit genders against each other,
right.
You know
sure.
what I mean? And that's what government does best. Like, it always pits interest groups against each other. And it's very unfortunate, you know. I think as people who like freedom, we kind of want people to realize that it's really not, you know, man versus woman or black versus white or Republican versus Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
It's the government against everybody. They're trying to take your rights away.
I tend to agree. Now, you did you do another show called Pork Therapy.
Correct.
Where can people find that?
PORCtherapy.com.
PorkTherapy.com. And mm-hmm. you did a show recently about sort of sexism in the liberty movement.
Yes.
Could you run that down? Now, I haven't listened to it. It was, you know, it was just done last night.
Yep, Friday night.
Yeah.
Friday. So
I
Friday, 10 to midnight.
I think
on
you
the
dropped
Liberty
the creeper
Network.
Word, too.
Did we? Maybe.
Yeah, no, it was you.
Okay, so what did we talk about on Friday night? Well, something that I've been thinking about a lot over the past about year and a half, ever since I started doing She Talk Live, which was the Free Talk Live Sunday show before we started on the air, Mark and
yes.
I. You know, that whole show and some of the issues that were brought up, and even just the name, started me thinking about and learning about feminism mm-hmm. in many different ways. And I made a confession on the show on Pork Therapy the other night that I used to be one of those women who dislikes other women. And I think it was for a number of different reasons, partially to do with being raised in a really authoritarian culture and always being told what to do and having sort of some problems with my self-esteem. And also the fact that I was attracted to women. I'm bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
I was attracted to women, and I had a hard time dealing with that because of the culture is also very homophobic, you know, and so I internalized that. I made it a part of myself. And it was not until just recently when I was able to come to grips with all of that stuff and release that, you know, and now I certainly have no problem with anybody of another gender or women, you know, nobody.
Well, I'm with you that chromosomes don't matter to me, but I yes. do think that that some women have more internalized the sort of sociological conversation that there is out there, that it is okay for women to be emotional or unreasonable, and, you know, to take these positions, you know, especially in relationships in order to, you know, have the man, you know, sort of move towards them in a, you know, in a bargaining situation so that they can see whether or not the man likes them.
Those all sound like cultural influences, though.
Absolutely, they're cultural, but, I mean,
from a very early age, too.
To say that something is, just to say that it's cultural doesn't mean that it's not real. I mean, you know,
You're not emotional, Mark? You don't have emotions?
I tend to think that there are some women out there that you know, feel that because of their gender that they have license to be unreasonable. And
unreasonable is according to you, right?
Right. I mean, absolutely.
So
I have the monopoly over my time, right? And
right.
so I get to choose.
But I mean, I think maybe some people express their emotions more strongly than others, but everybody has them.
Sure.
Everybody has emotions.
And they shouldn't run your life. I mean, you should.
You can control them. Yeah.
Yeah.
You own your feelings.
Because if not, I mean, you end up treating people poorly and hitting them and things like that. I mean, that's what emotions tend to run towards. 855 453. What do you think about
fruit? I have this dizzy feeling every time I get out of bed, like spinning. I don't know why. It's awful.
I get dizzy when I read or work on the computer.
I get lightheaded walking down a hall or aisle.
Or unsteady on my feet.
I lose my balance and get a little motion sick.
It's like vertigo. That dizzy feeling in a car, train, or airplane.
It's awful. An inner ear problem.
Most likely your vestibular system.
Now there's Zyvestra.
An amazing, fast-acting
dual-action tabs and targeted cream you rub behind your ear.
Behind your ear.
And it works in an advanced homeopathic way to relieve dizziness.
It relieves that vertigo feeling.
That dizzy feeling, gone.
Zyvestra is amazing.
No more suffering from dizziness and queasiness.
Wake up with better balance.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Zyvestra. Call 1-800-304-1684. 800-304-1684. Stop the dizziness. Call 800-304-1684. That's 800-304-1684.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233. For the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com. Utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. 855-453. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line on the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. 855-453. You can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about. That's what we do here on Free Talk Live. But we've been talking about sort of feminism and gender roles and sexism and things like that. And so if you want to comment on that, you're certainly welcome to it. 855-450-3733. I want to tell you about the Free State Project's Liberty Forum. It's coming up in February. 23rd to the 26th. It's one of the largest liberty-oriented gatherings in the world. You could be part of it. All you have to do is go to freestateproject.org/libertyforum, and they'll have all the information there. You can find out about where it's going to be, the elegant Nashua Crown Plaza Hotel. Let's see. So far, the speakers include Joe Salatin, author of You Can Farm, Clark Neely from the Institute for Justice, Jack Spierko, he's a survival expert, Michael Cloud from the Center for Small Government. Just go to freestateproject.org/libertyforum. When you sign in, use coupon code FTL2012. You get 10% off of your of the fees. It's FTL2012 at freestateproject.org/libertyforum. So, Stephanie, you wanted to recap on something we were talking about just a moment ago.
Yeah, and first of all, may I just add something to the discussion? You know, we started off the show talking about feminism and gender issues and so forth, and I think there are some people listening who will probably say, well, oh, God, come on, guys, what does this have to do with liberty, right? You think people
I don't think that Free Talk Live has no obligation to talk about things of liberty oriented. We tend to
because it's important. Well, we try to be entertaining. But
that's what's important. And you know, you talk about what's on people's mind. But go ahead.
But I think it really does relate to liberty because not only have there been a lot of historical discrimination against women that was encoded in law, and against, of course, against
sure.
blacks and other minorities and so
sure.
forth. But, you know, gender and liberty are very related because if we want to talk about gender roles, for instance, it can be a huge ball and chain to sort of feel forced to act a certain way or coerced into acting a certain way because that's what everybody around you is sort of telling you is normal or
right.
appropriate.
Right? You know, a friend of mine, Stefan Molyneux, which a lot of people know, we spent some time together on a vacation recently, and he's a stay-at-home dad, essentially.
Yes.
And his wife goes out, and,
yes.
and she's a psychiatrist. She has her own practice and that kind of thing. And he said, in Canada, this is just unheard of, being a stay-at-home dad. They just people don't understand when he says
really?
He's a stay-at-home dad and
wow.
you know what that must be like. And for me, when I try to think about these issues, I truly do try to think about them in a fashion where I believe that people are equal in their roles. I think that there are some innate differences in males and females, and that tends to cause certain dynamics when they're dealing with each other. But
I think that there is evidence that the psychological studies and a lot of the neuroscience studies that have come out in the past several decades that claim that there are these like inherent brain differences between men and women, a lot of them are really biased and have some very important points that can be disputed about those.
Okay.
And I would recommend reading the book Delusions of Gender by Cordelia Fine, which goes through and debunks all these classical studies that say like, oh, you know, female babies will look at their mother more and male babies will look around the room. So that means women are more emotional and men are more exploratory. And it's just like, gag me with a spoon. Like, obviously, that's not true. The researchers are reading into those kind of things.
Okay.
So the whole innate differences, I think they may be smaller than people think. But what I really wanted
to... There's clearly one innate difference, and it's never referred to as small. It's obvious, and so there's also sort of sociological differences that we all have to deal with, and their realities in our lives, whether we like them or not. If you're a guy and you want to date, you want to wait around for that girl that's going to ask you out. You could wait a long time.
Although that's kind of changing, don't you think?
More so.
I don't really want to live...
I don't think it's changing quickly. I think it may have stalled to some extent.
I've definitely asked men on dates in the past, and...
You are not a common, usual woman.
I am not normal. You heard it first.
I don't want to use a term that sounds in any way disparaging.
I don't think I'm different from a lot of, especially younger women in that mm-hmm. sense. Because I've actually seen, when I was an undergraduate just a few years ago... maybe 5-6 years ago, I saw women asking men out on dates and things like that. There's the whole hookup culture in college, and that's kind of a whole separate issue, which mm-hmm. I don't maybe want to deal with tonight. But
Well, because it's part of it all.
I don't know. Like, I dislike the whole dynamic where men are supposed to be the pursuer and women are supposed to be the shy, demure wallflower that just giggles and, oh, tea, you know, doesn't
well,
have any
opinions
of her
own. Just because the man's the pursuer
own.
that the woman, that doesn't mean, that doesn't put any onus on the woman's personality, right? Like, it just means that...
It kind of does, because if a woman wants... to date someone, or if a woman wants to express really any preferences at all, mm-hmm. She needs to speak up and be assertive about that and somehow make it known. But within this whole traditional gender roles paradigm, women really are not encouraged to speak
up.
What
would you say is more convenient? Sitting around and waiting for somebody to ask you out if a bunch of people are willing to do so, or not?
Sitting around and waiting for
waiting
someone
for
to,
people
ask,
to ask you out? I mean, do you think it's more convenient and comfortable to be asked than to do the asking?
Oh, it's... I guess if you get asked, it's more convenient to let someone else ask you.
I'll bet.
It depends on who's asking, though.
Definitely.
Now, that is a role that males do not have to deal with very much. Now, if you're a woman in society, you have to watch out. Eye contact is the signal to be asked out for women.
It is?
That's it.
That could just be a signal of somebody that knows how to, you know, have a conversation.
I get where you're coming from, but it will be misinterpreted a great deal.
Anything could be misinterpreted.
Wow. Okay, so this
a woman
is...
could smile at you and you could think that...
Smile at you. Smiling includes eye contact.
This is really what I would like to discuss, is that if I have eye contact with someone in a conversation and I smile at them and laugh at their mm-hmm. jokes... That does not mean that I want to have sex with that person.
I know. Of course it doesn't mean that.
It doesn't mean I want them to ask me out. It doesn't mean I want
to
be hit on.
Well, okay, so asking somebody out is a conversation. And, like, you know, that's it. It's just a conversation. And you can have whatever feeling you want to have about that conversation. But the best way to handle it is just to handle it in the most gentle way when you don't want to do it. I mean, that's it. Attractive women are going to get asked out.
Well, okay, I take your point on that, but there is a big difference between asking a woman out and saying something to her that is, like, pretty clearly inappropriate. And sure. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Last Sunday, after Free Talk Live was over, I went to a friend's place to do a little bit of socializing, and there was someone there who I had never met. And so I introduced myself to this person. It was a man, and, you know... He was very quiet, didn't really say much. And then about 10 minutes later, in a group conversation, he asked me a very inappropriate question of a sexual nature that I was not comfortable with.
So,
and it was like he just...
Within 10 minutes, he had asked you some inappropriate question?
Yes, and it was clearly like he was not reading some signal there that this is not appropriate.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I can say that some women do find that a turn on. You know, I mean, it sounds ham-fisted.
No way.
I think some do. 855-453. That's our call in line here on Free Talk Live.
In 2009, several international scientists concluded the WTC buildings were blown up by nanothermite. So what actually happened on 9/11? An experienced physicist with a PhD in applied physics at Caltech has published an online book about this disaster, National Swindle of the World Trade Center. This factual analysis includes 37 color photos in 7 chapters. Download it now for less than $13 at sealane.org. That's sealane.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Guys, did you know that starting in your early 30s, your testosterone drops 1 to 3% each year? By 50, you may have already lost half your testosterone. That could explain a lot, like your low energy, muscle turning to fat, and a low drive in your romantic life. Discover Ageless Male, the first and only all-natural supplement that's clinically proven to boost your testosterone levels by 61% and still within healthy, normal ranges. And when your testosterone levels are healthy, you can feel more like you did 20 years ago. That energy, that focus and concentration, that passion in your love life. Be the man you used to be. Call now to try Ageless Male risk-free. Just call 1-800-497-8345. 1-800-497-8345. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-800-497-8345. 1-800-497-8345.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
Jason Lewis here. With the holidays just around the corner, be sure to consider the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family: peace of mind. That's why I choose WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna, savory stroganoff, and pasta alfredo that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life, and they're ready to eat in minutes. Simply add hot water. Request a free entree sample today at WiseFoodStorage.com, and for a limited time, get free shipping and 10% off of your order. That's right, a free entree, free shipping, and 10% off any order. Just use promo code Lewis. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E, FoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price and the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love this holiday season.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. This is SACL toll-free call-in line here on the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. 855-450-3733. You can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about. That's what we do here on Free Talk Live. You know, we have years and years worth of archives. Thousands of hours worth of archives that you can have for free. Download them at archives.freetalklive.com. We have the last 7 days right there on the front page of Free Talk Live. After that, you go to archives.freetalklive.com, and you can get as many of them as you want going back till 2006. So if you need something while you're exercising, doing the gardening, traveling to work, whatever, it's archives.freetalklive.com. They're available to you to use however you'd like. Now, Stephanie, you were telling a story that had occurred to you recently, I want to take the call that's coming.
Absolutely, sure.
We'll jump right back into it once we're done with Chris in California. You're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was listening into the show yesterday, and one of you guys had made the comment about, you know, if people should be able to kill themselves if they want. I was wondering if, you know, whoever had said that, they could kind of expound on the reasoning for that.
I don't know. I don't remember having said that on the show yesterday, but that doesn't matter. I do think that people should be able to kill themselves if they wish.
Chris, who owns your body?
I do.
Yeah, then you should end your life if you'd
like
to.
I mean, from what I understand, especially, like, you know, the principle of inalienable rights, life, liberty, and property, I mean, those types of rights are so inalienable, they're non-transferable. So, I mean, in an open society, if somebody wanted to kill themselves, even in a closed society, they could. But I don't see, as even a libertarian or an anarchist, how that could be like a sound belief in an open,
Chris,
open society.
Actually would like to mention this, because I think I have a slightly more nuanced view than Mark or Mandrake has. And I also work in the healthcare field, so this is something that kind of relates directly. I think that there are reasons that people might want to end their life, which could be like basically they're not in their right mind. You know, they're very depressed because of something that happened to them, or they are sick for some reason, or they're in extraordinary pain. And they might think at the moment, well, I really want to end my life. But, you know, maybe if they were in their normal frame of mind, they would not want to end their life.
Sure, I think suicide tends to be a cry for help, and I would offer help to somebody who's trying to be suicidal.
Right, exactly.
As a matter of fact,
point,
if you listen to the
in a free market, I think as either libertarians or socialists, we might be want to be a little bit more sensitive and be like, well, hey, guess what? If we had a better society in a free and open market, we might be able to take care of those people. I mean, we're not advocating for people to, you know, stick a shotgun to their head, are we?
I don't think anybody's advocating that. I mean, we
no,
just because
we're
you're
not
in your body doesn't mean.
Well, yeah, I think if we were talking about, as I recall, people that you know were concerned about carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and that humans were essentially parasites on the planet,
right? Eugenics, type of thing.
Oh, okay.
It's just from what I understand about inalienable rights, they're also like non-transferable, like property rights. Like, if you were to come into my house, I could ask you to take off your shoes and you might oblige. But if I ask you to give up your wallet, you might be, you know, you might not do that. So there's limits to it. And inalienable also means that they're non-transferable in life, at least as far as, you know, the Declaration of Independence is concerned. You know, may not refer exactly to suicide, but suicide is touched upon by the people who are actually, or at least, you know, John Locke and Immanuel Kant.
So, Chris, I have a question for you. Do you think that people should be able to sell themselves into slavery?
No, I don't. I'm against wage slavery.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, that's what I kind of figured from what you were saying.
Right.
And I do think that there is an important distinction here that Chris rightly pointed out, is that, you know, just because someone as a libertarian says, well, sure, person should be able to end their life or should be allowed to end their life, it's kind of ridiculous to think of someone being allowed to end their life. Like, they're going to do it if they want to.
Right.
But,
well, I mean,
but, you know, it's really important. Sorry, Chris. It's very important to... for the compassion to come across in that statement, right? Like, if somebody wants to end their life, they probably need some help. And the first thing I would be thinking about is not, well, they should be able to kill themselves if they want. It's, how can I help this person?
Well, I mean,
Dr. Kevorkian was thrown in prison for a very long time for trying to help some people that were in pain.
Yes.
And I think that my life, that my, you know, right to life is transferable in the sense that if I can tell a doctor, look, I'm ready to die, please.
If you want, you could kind of, I mean, I don't know what time you have, but if you want to take a look at one of the statements that you guys, you know, or one of you guys made on that, it sounded almost kind of like satire, you know, because you guys are doing the whole, you know, free state movement and that type of thing. And Ron Paul has got a particular platform that I like when he says, listen, I don't like, you know, he denies the cliche that libertarians are not compassionate. And when somebody like me in California is actually seriously thinking about, you know, ideas like that, you know, to hear somebody say, well, if people want to kill themselves, they should just, you know, get up and do it. I mean, I realize you're making kind of like a sweeping statement, and I don't believe that you guys would advocate, you know, people just killing themselves whenever they feel like it, because they don't own the right to life, because it's a maxim in and of itself.
I don't understand that. I own my right to life, Chris, and I challenge you to on that statement. I own it.
No, you don't.
I don't own my life.
It's a maxim in and of itself. I mean,
what does
life
that
is
mean?
Independent in and of yours.
You
That's
have
why doctors make...
You have a right to life, but you don't own it.
Exactly.
I don't own my life?
You have a right to life, but you do not own the right to life.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, well, how about this? I agree with Chris that compassion really needs to come through.
I can't argue with that. I'm not arguing with what Chris said there. I am arguing that if I decide I want to kill myself, that is my right.
Well, these are fundamental, you know, Enlightenment classical liberalism principles I'm talking about here. I mean, if you're going to sit there and say that if you have the right to take away your life, then you're denying life as a maxim in and of itself. I mean,
Chris,
you could do it, but, you know,
Chris,
I could go out and kill somebody too, but I'm doing the same thing. Whether or not
Chris,
somebody
I'm
can.
Talking, as a maxim, I'm talking about self-ownership and not necessarily life. I'm talking about a maxim of self-ownership.
Right, but your self-ownership is depending on the very fact that you just happened to be born.
That I'm alive.
That you're alive, which is that we know of wasn't your choice.
I will not own myself when I am dead. You're right.
Exactly. But life, that's why doctors take an oath and they don't just kill people.
They don't take that oath anymore.
Well, they take the Hippocratic Oath, which
they don't
says
take it
first,
anymore.
Do no harm. Yes, they do. I just went to a medical school graduation this summer.
I just looked it up, and they've changed it recently, and they don't take the old one, and the ones that do take one, the ones that do take one don't take the old one, which says that they'll do no harm, and the ones that, I just looked it up a couple of weeks ago, and the doctors aren't even taking the Hippocratic
Maybe
Oath
it's
anymore.
Done differently.
They did take it this summer at the one graduation that I went to.
Thank goodness. But I don't think they mean it.
Yeah, just because someone says something doesn't mean they internalize or fully understand it. But
politicians swear an oath on the Constitution.
Right.
Well, I have a question for Chris.
Yeah.
Chris, would you actively prohibit someone from killing themselves or ending their own life?
Absolutely not. I mean, like I said, in a free society, if people are going to do it, they're going to do it. You know. But what I'm saying is that in the interest of the movement, the liberty movement, I think we should probably be careful, you know, not to fall into the cliche. And, you know, I mean, I realize what the state is all about.
Chris,
I
completely agree.
But,
I completely agree.
I mean, if I'm new to the liberty movement and I just, you know, I mean, I already knew about these principles before I even, you know, found you guys. If somebody's new to that and they hear that and they're like, geez, you know, these people over in, you know, doing their little thing over in New Hampshire, I mean, they seem pretty cold and they're not.
Don't you think most people believe that you have the right to suicide?
I think most people do not understand what an inalienable right and a maxim is. Most people, when they talk about
apparently
it.
Apparently,
it's the way you said it, Mark, or whoever said it, is what Chris's issue was.
I hear that. I do hear what that said, and to me it was centered around a conversation around people that believed that life itself, human life itself, was a virulent disease.
Right.
And so therefore, you know, if you believe that is the case, then you should handle that issue in the only life that you have the right to take.
Right.
And I see that point, and I think that it's valid in that context. And I understand where Chris is saying that one needs to be gentle in the way one speaks to other people, because
right.
you never know who you're offending and who you're horrifying. But I think a lot of people believe that, I really believe that most people believe that suicide is okay.
I think it runs much deeper than this, and I want to get back into it in the next segment.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Chris. Appreciate the call. 855-453, Free Talk Live.
My mom gives me a glass of Emergency Kids every day before school.
Why, with all the vitamin C and antioxidants you're getting, I bet you're a bit of a recess renegade. Ooh. Making mud pies with your bare hands, capturing bullfrogs to scare the girls, even daring to eat a piece of meatless meatloaf your friend smuggled out of the cafeteria on a triple dog dare, right?
No.
Relax, kid. I'm just making a point. Introducing Emergency Kids, with immune-supporting vitamin C, antioxidants, and fun fizzy flavors kids love like orange, fruit punch, and grape. Find us on Facebook and feel the good.
In 2009, several international scientists concluded the WTC buildings were blown up by nanothermite. So what actually happened on 9/11? An experienced physicist with a PhD in applied physics at Caltech has published an online book about this disaster, National Swindle of the World Trade Center. This factual analysis includes 37 color photos in 7 chapters. Download it now for less than $13 at sealane.org. That's SEALANE.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
The perfect water for drinking, bathing, and cleaning. Right at your fingertips? Yes, you can now have the most powerful water ionizer on the market for less than half the price of competitors. The Genesis Platinum Water Ionizer from GibsonsHealth.com creates the perfect drinking water of 9.5 pH, automatically cleans every time you use it, and even tells you when to change filters. Other 7-plate water ionizers are priced at $2,000 or even $3,000. But the Genesis Platinum is only $16.95. Get yours today at GibsonsHealth.com. Under Nutritionals, be sure to click on Essential Oils for Aromatic Liquid extracted from a broad range of flowers, stems, seeds, and bark. And to really balance your body, click on Go Green, the most complete green drink available, necessary for survival. All this and more are found at GibsonsHealth.com. Call 800-388-6844. That's 800-388-6844 or GibsonsHealth.com. Healthful living since 1974.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, 855-453. It's a SACL toll-free call-in line on the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. That's right, we are live in the studio on a Sunday evening. I know you're not used to getting live programming on Sunday evenings, but it's true. It's Mark.
And Mandrick.
And Stephanie.
You can call us at 855-450-3733. We've been all over the board this evening. We've been talking about things like...
But we can tie it together, and that's what I intend to do.
Well, tie away!
You're going to tie us together?
No.
Okay.
That was inappropriate.
No, it wasn't.
I'm a straight guy, but I'm just saying. Mark,
I met Mandrick more than a year ago, I think, and I'm very comfortable with him, so...
You heard it there, folks.
And it was a mild joke. The one that I got asked was way worse, but I won't repeat it on the air.
Okay.
Anyway, so I think we can
tie... It's an inappropriate sexual question.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah. Mandrick heard it. Yeah. He can vouch for me. But
so was it bad because it was bad, or was it bad because Stephanie tends to be sensitive in this area?
As somebody who says... some pretty foul things at events.
Oh, yeah.
Liberty Ring events.
Yeah, I've heard you.
I mean, I have a mouth, you know, and
But it's all about the comfort, you know, recognizing that somebody's comfortable having a conversation with you and recognizing their level of how far they want to take it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't just come out. I don't just come out and say horrible things, make these terrible jokes.
Yeah,
like,
and
the comfort has to be there. I don't know somebody.
And you know, if every time I express, you know, a preference not to be asked a question like that, I get labeled as sensitive or hysterical or overly emotional.
Which is
ridiculous. Don't really think those things are based on evidence or are valid. I mean, you know, I try to be pretty rational, actually, and I just have certain preferences, you know. I don't like to be spoken to in certain ways, you know. So
I hate to use this terminology, but nobody wants to be creeped on. And even I've been creeped on as, you know, as a man, I've been creeped on by women. So it's just... it's not a comfortable feeling.
So this
agreed, but yeah, I think it's for me, and I have too. I work as a gym at as a personal trainer. If you don't think I've been creeped on by cougars, you're just not paying attention.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
And you know, this is my late 20s, and you know, it happened all the time, and it was just kind of one of those things that one expected and dealt with.
But I don't know.
I mean, I didn't like it.
I would prefer only the women that I find attractive to hit on me.
Did you voice that? Did you say, I don't appreciate that, or that's not what I want? Or
usually,
what did you say?
My experience was if, you know, with one, you know, gentle rebuff, and I'm not talking about a rebuff in the sense that you have to say anything, just like, you know, you just don't show interest, that level of interest will go away.
Yeah, and I think that's sometimes the difference, because I know that there are lots of women, especially in the Liberty Movement, and this is really how I wanted to tie everything together. Mm-hmm. There are lots of women who have experienced this kind of thing in the Liberty Movement where someone just really won't take no for an answer, and they're constant about it, and it's like very...
Indeed.
Yeah,
absolutely. Now, let's talk about societal roles here for a second. Men are given the instruction that you need to stick with it if you want to get the girl.
Every movie ever?
Yeah, like every movie ever instructs us that, look, if you stick with it, she'll like you.
That's
some
romantic.
Point, she'll come around, right? You know,
yeah,
Dustin
like
Hoffman.
You can win her over.
Right.
Yeah.
At the wedding, he's banging on the glass there in the, what is it, the graduate going, Elaine! Elaine!
I wouldn't go
and
to that
she
wedding.
She goes with him, Stephanie. She leaves her husband-to-be at the altar and goes with him.
It's very important to be able to tell movies from real life.
It is, but... You know, I totally can see how people believe that this is the instruction they're going to get. This is where I get the instruction on how to pursue romantic relationships.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who believe that, but there's also a certain importance of, like, kind of reading social cues and being concerned about other people's comfort level. And, you know, Mark, I'm going to ask you gentlemen both a question, Mark and Mandrick. Do you think that there is a stereotype or a idea that libertarians... can tend to be socially awkward, inwardly focused, not very compassionate, not very empathetic, maybe even a little bit like Asperger's syndrome?
I think I know exactly why many men in the Liberty Movement, and even women to some degree, I think when you grow up, and I guess it depends on at what age you start to understand that you're not a part of this group. I mean, for me, like in middle school, I realized I rejected the idea of government, and so it was hard for me to relate with a lot of different people. And I just didn't grow those social skills because I wasn't in those cliques or whatever, I guess you could say. So when you don't have the social experience of being around like-minded individuals, it's hard to develop them.
So you do think there is that stereotype, and you think
that it's
true?
Yeah, you didn't say yes or no, pal.
I think there's a stereotype.
I'm offended.
No, I'm saying, I think some people do that. Yeah, I think that stereotype is there. And I think it probably is true for a lot of people, but I'm just saying there's a good reason for it. I mean, when you don't have acceptance in your life, when you grow up and you reject all the things around you to some degree, I mean, what? How else are you going to learn to?
I don't know. I mean, like, I don't have the depth to it that George has, but I did. Yes. Excuse me, Mandrick has. Excuse me. Appreciate the.
That's all right.
You know, I don't have the depth to the thought behind it, and I don't know if he's right either, but I do think that the people think that. I think that, mm-hmm. you know, to some extent in the Liberty Movement, you probably have people that ask questions. You have iconoclasts, you know, well, they'll call them debatitarians, you know, people that are just contrarian.
Yes.
Just because something is the status quo that we must, you know, blow it up and or, you know, ask questions of it or those kind of things. I don't have any problem with asking questions, but, you know, this can come across as annoying to some.
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes when people become, you know, get interested in liberty, it's because they simply are just anti-authoritarians. It's like a reaction to the very authoritarian culture that they've grown up in, yeah. And I certainly can't blame anybody for that, because it can be really, like, crushing when you grow up in an environment where you're constantly being told what to do and controlled and stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, it's really important to develop some kind of a gauge for other people's comfort level and to avoid being contrarian on things that make other people... well, I don't want to say make them uncomfortable, but, you know, may incite a little bit of awkwardness or discomfort. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you got to live in the real world, and the real world, you know, it isn't going to look kindly on somebody who just, you know, brings up inappropriate topics all the time.
But in the libertarian world, it does look kindly upon them. I mean, it's really hard probably to imagine what it's like. Do you notice that libertarians are mostly white?
Yes, mostly.
Do you notice that there are more men than women?
You know, I think it's changing here in New Hampshire. We're getting
more
women are moving.
It
but,
is
more men, though.
You know, when you go to, especially like the Libertarian Party conferences and things like that. Yeah, yeah. Certainly, it's tends to be more male, male dominated.
And what about? Do you think there's an equal representation in like compared to the general population for gays and lesbians and transgendered and bis?
Probably not. But I mean, right. You know, in here in New Hampshire, I bet it's pretty close, though.
Well. There's only one lesbian that I know who's here in New Hampshire, and I think there ought to be more. So I don't know, but I do think that...
I was thinking of the gay guys. You know.
Yeah, there do seem to be more gay men.
A lot
but,
of that.
Yeah.
A lot more of that.
But, you know, we still don't live in this world as people who are into freedom, where it's, like, reflective of the diversity of the general population. And sometimes this is really not meant to blame anybody or to shame anybody at all, but sometimes it just makes me wonder if there's a reason for that. And is that reason because that some people feel don't feel welcomed in the culture of libertarianism or whatever?
We had a black guy call in and basically express deep concerns in that area. Like, would I be welcome in New Hampshire? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, our Ian and my answer is absolutely. Come on up.
I got to admit, though, every time I see a black guy in New Hampshire, I'm just like, oh, my gosh. How you
well,
doing,
you know,
buddy?
Especially in the Keene area.
I was just... I don't.
It's uncommon.
It is. It's crazy.
And that's true with every other ethnicity, too, essentially.
Absolutely, yeah. I really
besides
don't think that
Caucasian.
That as Caucasian people or white people or whatever...
You can claim to be Caucasian. I'm not going to.
Okay, well,
sure
I don't think as people who have like this lighter colored skin and most people would consider white, right? We probably don't realize some of the things, like the challenges that people of color face when they would come to a place like New Hampshire, which is mostly white, and especially like the Liberty community, which is mostly white. And I actually saw a posting the other day on Facebook by a black libertarian, and he said that, you know, he was just kind of like, where am I going to find a barber when I come to New Hampshire?
That's a good question, isn't it?
You know, and it just struck me, it really struck a chord with me because I was like, huh, I never thought about that. I don't have to be concerned about whether there's someone around who can cut my hair. But if I were black, it might be a different story. And I can't, you know, as a woman, I've experienced a lot of things from libertarians that were less than friendly to women. And so, and it's not one person who's doing these things. It's nobody in particular, nobody specific. I'm not trying to blame anyone. It's just drops in a bucket that kind of add up to a culture that kind of says, well, maybe you don't fit in here if you're not part of the majority kind of thing.
Well, I
we're not part
would
of the
really like to see that not be the case.
Yep, me too.
You know, I'd like to see more diversity.
That's why I wanted to talk about it.
855-450-3733. Free Talk Live's live Sunday edition. Call in, talk about whatever you want to talk about.
You know that cigarettes will kill you. You've been thinking about giving the e-cigarette a try? There is a healthier option. 22,000 times healthier. But listen to this offer from Vapersmiths.com. A pack-a-day smoker will save $120 a month. So you already start being richer, feeling healthier, and smelling better. What more could you want? How about a free starter kit? Just purchase 40 cartomizers with coupon code FTL. Free shipping on orders of $60 or more. 855-2-GET-VAPOR or go to Vapersmiths.com.
In need of comfort? Look to two American icons, the Company Store and the LaCrosse Comforter. Available in down and down-free options in 4 warmth levels and 14 colors. For over 100 years, no one gives you more choices and better quality than the Company Store. Go to thecompanystore.com and enter code COMFORT to receive 15% off your entire order and free shipping. That's thecompanystore.com, the Company Store. Comfort that fits your life. For over...